You know, some people enjoy composing their own music, chord by chord, and others are happiest when they come across that one perfect song. Work is not a lot different than that. Whether you prefer building your own workflow or using a pre-made template, with Monday.com, you and the team can work in a way that's comfortable for everyone. Tap the banner to go to Monday.com and build your own amazing workflow, or find an awesome template. No judgment.
Hi, everyone. It's time for another two adventures from the Tales of the Texas Rangers here at 1001 Stories of the Old West.
And now, from the files of the Texas Rangers, the case called Stick Up.
It is early morning, September 6, 1938, the day after Labor Day. In the quiet little town of Avon, Texas, the last breakfast customer has just left Baker's Beanery. Owner Tom Baker, alone in the roadside cafe, stands behind the counter, washing dishes.
Why, they're a-dying. Nellie started crying. He ain't going to try me.
Oh, howdy, General.
Howdy, boy. You're getting hard, ain't it?
Uh-huh.
I reckon I could give you a hand with them dishes in exchange for a bottle of shorty pop.
You're sure playing it safe.
What you mean?
I saw you watching through the window. You waited till I got down to this last plate before you come in with that proposition.
Oh, saw me, eh?
Hmm.
You want me to fill the sugar bowls for you?
Already done that. Need some spuds peeled, though.
How many?
About a bushel.
Oh. Then I guess I'll have to pay in cash.
General, you're the biggest moocher in the whole state of Texas.
Well, I'll get a free one off you yet. Now, how about giving a cash customer some service, boy?
Just one thing first.
What's that?
You sure you got a nickel? I mean, you ain't going to finish the soda and then tell me you lost the money through a hole in your pocket.
You ain't never going to forget that, are you? Well, this time I got the money.
5 cents?
Well, I got 4 cents. I'll give you IOU for the other penny.
That's all right. I'll trust you. You'll be in a war hero and all that. What kind do you want?
What kind you got?
Oh, sarsaparilla, grape, orange, lime, cherry.
Hey, you got root beer?
Yep.
That's what I want.
All right. Here you are.
Hey, shove them straws down here, will you?
Sure you don't want me to drink it for you?
I can manage, thank you. Well, what are you waiting for, boy?
That's 4 cents, or do you want me to send you a bill at the end of the month?
Go on. Wait on that young fellow that just come in.
Come on, let's see your money first. Be right there, mister.
It's all right.
Money crazy, that's all you are. That's one penny.
Yep.
Two.
Mm-hmm.
Say, it's an Indian head penny. 1907.
Come on, hurry up.
Three. Now, that's funny. I'd have swore I had another penny.
Got another hole in your pocket?
Oh, I guess I just forgot to sew up the old.
How about it, mister? I'm in a hurry.
Come in. Want to see the menu?
No. Give me a pack of gum.
All right, what flavor?
Peppermint.
Hey, Tom. I got a glass with some ice in it.
You trying to bankrupt me or something? Here's your gum. That'll be a whole nickel. Thank you. 5 cents out of a quarter.
I'll take that folding money.
What? Put on that gun.
Just give me the money and hurry it up.
Hey, Tom.
Shut up, old man. Stay back.
Let me have that gun.
Let's go.
Give me that gun. Come here, you. Stop. Stop or I'll shoot. Stop. Missed him, Tuck. I got the truck. General. You're bleeding. Oh, no.
Tom Baker notified the sheriff's office of the attempted robbery and killing. Sheriff Lon Gunther could not be reached immediately, and the assistance of the Texas Rangers was requested. Ranger Jace Pearson was assigned and arrived at the scene 10 minutes later. The sheriff arrived soon after, and he joined the ranger in questioning Mr. Baker.
Is the gun on the counter, Mr. Baker?
Yeah, that's it, Ranger. I was trying to get it away from the guy when it went off. I never should have done it. I should have just given him the money that... General might be alive right now if I had.
Now, there's no use figuring that way, Tom.
Well, it's...
You cover him up with those towels?
Yeah, I couldn't stand them people looking in at him.
Yeah, I know how you feel, Tom. All of us who knew him had a soft spot for the old boy.
You know, it's a funny thing. I never did know his real name.
Mm-hmm. How'd the killer escape?
In a truck. I fired at him a few times before he drove off.
You hit him?
I don't think so, but I know I put a couple holes in the back of the truck.
What kind was it?
Half-ton pickup, painted red.
Did you get the license number?
No, I didn't.
How about the make and year?
Well, I don't know the make, but I'd say it was about a 34 model.
Where was the truck parked?
Under the live oak over there. You can see through the window here. That's right. Over there.
Uh-huh.
And it was parked kind of catty-corner, so he had to jump in the right side.
Could you see into the cab?
No, I couldn't.
What'd the man look like?
Oh, about average height, dark hair, just an ordinary-looking guy.
How old?
His 20s, I'd say.
How was he dressed?
Denim pants and a black cowboy shirt with white piping, like tore his sleeve off when we was fighting.
We'll put out an all-points bulletin, Sheriff. You might not find it so easy to hide a red truck with bullet holes in it. While waiting for the JP to authorize the removal of the body, I put out an APB on the truck and the killer. The sheriff and I then drove Tom Baker down to the sheriff's office to get his statement and let him look over the mug files. About 2 hours later, we got a call from the highway patrol. They'd found the truck abandoned on Farm Road 107, about 25 miles east of Avon. The license tags were missing, but from the motor number, the highway patrol was able to get the owner's name. The truck belonged to a man named Ed Jaffe. He lived on a ranch about 7 miles from where the truck was found. The sheriff and I drove out to talk to him.
Jaffe must be working on shares here.
Why do you say that?
The place belongs to old man Robinson. He'd been living up at Fort Worth last couple of years. And... Jaffe ain't taking care of it the way he did.
Just a minute. Yes?
Howdy, ma'am. I'm Sheriff Gunther. This is Ranger Pearson. Is Ed Jaffe here?
Oh, did you find our truck?
Yes, ma'am.
Waiting, Martha.
A ranger and a sheriff. They found the truck.
A day in.
Come on in, won't you?
Thanks.
I just got back from my sister's. Been there over Labor Day. And when Ed told me our truck was stolen, I was just sick about it.
Howdy, Ranger. Sheriff.
Howdy. Howdy.
You fellas sure work fast. Just reported that truck missing about a half hour ago.
Yeah?
Where'd you find it?
About 7 miles down the road.
Yeah, well, I can take the bus down and pick it up, I guess.
We'd like to ask you a few questions first.
Sure. What about?
Where was your truck stolen from?
Right outside the house. I'll show you where I had it parked. I'll be right back, Martha.
Well, let me know if you go over to get the truck.
Yeah, that's no any. I had it parked right over there by the corral.
You didn't know it was gone till 30 minutes ago, huh?
That's right.
Tell me, don't I know you from somewhere, Mr. Jaffe?
You got a good memory, Ranger. That was a long time ago, 4 years.
Over in Coleman County, wasn't it?
Uh-huh.
Ranger Morgan brought you in, didn't he?
Yeah. What for? Oh, burglary. Knocked over a filling station and did 18 months in Huntsville. But I'm out of that racket for good.
Yeah? Yeah,
darn right, I'm ranching now. I ain't fixing to spend no more time at Huntsville.
I guess you wouldn't know, then, about your truck being used in a robbery and murder, would you?
Oh, wait a minute. I don't know anything like that.
You think it's just a coincidence?
Look, I made a mistake once and I paid for it. 18 months. Now, if my truck was used like you say, don't try to pin it on me just because I got a record.
The killing took place about 5 hours ago. How come you waited until half an hour ago to report your truck was stolen?
Because I didn't know it was gone till then. I wasn't here. Besides, why'd I call the cops if I was tied up in it?
To try to look innocent, maybe? That's been tried lots of times.
But
Where were you this morning?
I was with Will Hicks at his place, about 3 miles from here.
All morning?
That's right. I was helping him shingle his roof. Look, you're just picking on me because I got a record.
If you're innocent, you got nothing to worry about.
Look, I couldn't have been mixed up in no crime if I was at Will's place. And I was there from 7 this morning till noon.
Yeah. Well, let's go talk to this friend of yours and see if your alibi holds up.
His house over there?
Yeah, just turn down this dirt road.
There's somebody working on the roof, all right?
Sure, that's Will. I told you he was putting shingles on it. Don't you want me to come with you?
No, you stay here with the sheriff. Mr. Hicks?
Yeah?
Can you come down for a while? I want to talk to you.
Oh, just a minute. Get this roof finished. Say it's going to rain tonight. What can I do for you, Ranger?
You know where Ed Jaffe was this morning?
Ed? Oh, why, sure. He's right here with me. Oh, say, what you doing over there in the car with the sheriff?
We've been talking to him. How long was he here this morning?
Oh, let's see. I drove over and got him about 7. He helped me on the roof till about noon, I guess.
Did you take him home then?
Yeah, he had to get started on his chores. Are you checking up about his pickup being stolen?
That's part of it.
Yeah, we saw it was missing as soon as we got over to his place.
Did Mr. Jaffe leave you at any time during the morning?
No, we were working together the whole time. You know, I'm surprised this isn't a ranger on just a car theft.
It's more than that, Mr. Hicks. Your friend's truck was used in a robbery and killing.
Killing?
Yeah. I'd like you to come down to the sheriff's office in Avon and make a written statement about Jaffe being here all morning.
Well, is that necessary?
I'm afraid so.
Well, say, Ranger, can I do that a little later, in about an hour? I'd like to get this roof finished if I can. The radio said we're going to have rain tonight.
That'll be all right, Mr. Hicks. We'll see you then. And thanks for your help.
That's okay.
What'd you tell you, Ranger?
Says you were here, all right.
You gonna take me home now?
Not yet. I want someone to take a look at you.
Who's that?
The man who saw the killer face to face. We drove Ed Jaffe into town and took him into the sheriff's office. We had Tom Baker look at him. He was positive Jaffe was not the killer. We had one of the sheriff's deputies drive Jaffe back to his ranch and proceeded to show Tom Baker more mugshots of every man picked up for robbery in the county within recent years. An hour later, Mr. Baker was still looking.
This one?
No. No. No.
How about this one, Mr. Baker?
Let me see. No, nothing like him.
Yeah, that's the last of this bunch.
I declare I'm bushed. Must have looked at 1,000 of these pictures.
And quite, but these are the most likely ones.
You mean you got more?
Thousands of them. We'll have to get them from Austin.
Oh, excuse me. They didn't tell me you were busy.
Come on in, Mr. Hicks. We're just about finished.
Sorry I took so long getting here.
That's okay. Mr. Hicks, this is Tom Baker.
Howdy.
Howdy. Ranger, is there anything else I can do for you now?
I guess you might as well go home and get some rest. You had a rough day. We'll call you just as soon as we get those other mug shots here.
All right. I am kind of done in. I'll be over at the beanery when you want me.
So long.
So long, Tom.
Bye, Mr. Baker. Sit down, Mr. Hicks. We'll take your statement now.
Thanks. Ranger, I got to tell you something.
What is it?
That fella just left here. Is he the one who saw the killer?
Yeah.
Has he seen Ed?
Just a little while ago. He definitely cleared him, though.
Well, I'm sure glad to hear that. But I still got to tell you something.
What's on your mind, Mr. Hicks?
Well, it's hard for me to say this. I never lied to no officer of the law before. But I just thought I was doing Ed a favor, and it wouldn't hurt nobody.
What do you mean?
Well, Ed come to me just before noon. You know, his wife was away.
Yeah.
And he said he'd been down here in town seeing some gal he knows. You know how some fellas are.
And what about it?
Well, he told me his pickup was really stolen in front of this gal's house. And he didn't want his wife to find out where he was. So he asked me to tell her or anybody else that he was with me all morning, helping to fix my roof.
He wasn't with you?
No, sir. He wasn't.
Why didn't you tell me that before?
Well, when you told me it wasn't just a stolen truck, but a killing, why, I just didn't know what to do.
Mm-hmm. Well, that sure puts a new light on things. In the first place, I don't think there was a woman.
Why do you say that, Jace?
Look, if his truck really was stolen in town, he'd have gone to your office and reported it. He wouldn't have mentioned who he was visiting.
Well, then why'd he tell me that story about a woman?
So you'd come to his rescue and say he was with you all morning?
Yeah, but now, Jace, if there was no woman, why would he want to use Hicks as an alibi?
Because maybe that truck of his wasn't stolen at all. Maybe he was driving it himself this morning.
Now, hold on, Jace. That mule won't pull. Baker said himself Jaffe wasn't the killer.
I know, Sheriff. But Baker saw only one man. That doesn't mean there wasn't another one waiting in the truck.
Come to think of it, he did say the killer climbed in on the right side.
And I got a feeling that on the left side was the driver, Ed Jaffe. Come on, Sheriff. We're going to pick him up. With Jaffe no longer having an alibi, the sheriff and I were pretty sure he could have been involved in the killing. We had the local magistrate issue a search warrant and headed out to Jaffe's place. It was about 5:30 in the afternoon when we pulled up in front of his house. Mrs. Jaffe heard our car approaching and came out to see who it was.
Howdy, Ranger. Sheriff.
Howdy, ma'am.
Jaffe.
How come you wouldn't let Ed bring the truck back?
We're afraid we have to hold it for a while, for evidence.
Your husband here, Mrs. Jaffe?
No, he's out moving the cows from the lower section up to the north range.
How long ago did he leave?
He took off just after he got back from town, about half an hour ago.
Is he on foot?
No, he saddled up the mare. You gents want to come in, wait for him?
No, thanks. I think we'll ride out and meet him.
Could I borrow one of your horses, ma'am?
Why, sure, Sheriff. Take that roan from the corral over there.
Thank you.
I'll get charcoal out of the trailer.
If you want to wait, I know it'll be back pretty soon.
I'm afraid the business we've got with your husband, ma'am, won't wait. The sheriff and I saddled up and took off across the fields in the direction Mrs. Jaffe had indicated. Ed Jaffe's tracks were easy to follow, but they did not lead to the lower section. Instead, they led to a dry wash about 4 miles from the house.
What in the world do you think Jaffe came down here for?
I don't know. Hey, wait a minute, Sheriff.
What is it, Jake?
A lot of cigarette butts over there.
Yeah. Plenty of foot tracks here, too. Well, they must have stayed here quite a spell, or he wouldn't smoke this many.
Not Jaffe, Sheriff. Someone else. Look at all these footprints. They were made by a man wearing shoes, not boots like Jaffe.
Yeah. You think this other fella could be the killer? Maybe hiding out here and Jaffe came to meet him?
I don't know. Jaffe met someone here, all right.
Yeah. Whoever it was, he sure must have been nervous. Darn near wore a rut in the dirt, pacing up and down.
Come here, Sheriff.
What is it, Jake?
Find something else?
Yeah, black shirt. Spotted the edge of it sticking out from under the brush.
White piping and a torn sleeve. Like the one Baker said the killer wore.
I guess Jaffe brought him a change of clothing.
I wonder where they went.
We better find out before they get too far. There's the tracks Jaffe's horse made leaving here.
Yeah.
Hold still. Let's go, Charkey.
I don't see the other fellow's tracks, Jace.
They must be riding double with Jaffe.
That could slow him down some.
Uh-huh. Come on, Sheriff. Let's knock on it.
Yeah.
Oh, Charkey. Oh, boy.
Jace, I saw Jaffe from up there. He was coming toward us.
Riding through the wash?
No, he's above it, coming this way.
Come on, Charkey.
Easy, boy. Easy.
He was alone, Jace. Just coming over that rise.
Yeah.
There, see him?
Yeah. What's on the other side of the rise?
The highway?
That's probably where he's been. Come on.
Come on, boy. Look, he's turning around, Jace.
Jaffe, hold up!
He doesn't hear you.
He'll hear this. He heard that, all right.
Yeah, he sure did.
Go to the Bay Ranger!
You know darn well we were, Jaffe.
Oh, boy.
Why'd you run?
I didn't hear you, honest. Not until I heard those shots. What's the matter?
Where's the man you met back there in that wash?
Man? What man? I don't know what you're talking about.
I just bet you don't.
Where you been?
I've just been up the store.
Yeah? You sure you weren't taking your pal to the highway?
No, I just went to the store for a bottle of beer.
Come on, Jaffe. We're going back to that highway. The sheriff and I took Jaffe back to the highway. There was no sign of the other man. We went to the nearby store. The owner told us Jaffe had not been in all day. We then drove Jaffe into town and began questioning him. He kept insisting he was innocent.
Why do we have to go over the whole thing again, Ranger? I tell you, it's all a big mistake of some kind.
No use lying anymore, Jaffe. We followed your tracks and found that shirt on your property.
I never saw that shirt before. Look, Ranger, just because I got a record, that don't mean I mixed up nothing.
Then why'd you lie about where you were this morning?
All right, I tell you. I was with a woman. I didn't want my wife to know when I...
What's her name?
I don't remember. I don't know it too well.
Where's she live?
I don't know the name of the street.
That story is no good, Jaffe.
What do you mean? You think I'm lying?
Yes.
Well, I ain't. You got no right to say that.
Now, listen to me, Jaffe. We know you spun that yarn to Hicks about a woman, so he'd give you an alibi for this morning. But you weren't with a woman, and you weren't with Hicks.
Yeah, well, where was I?
I'll tell you where you were. You were in your pickup truck. It wasn't stolen. You were driving it.
No, I wasn't.
You had this other fellow with you, the one wearing the black shirt. And the two of you stopped at Baker's Cafe.
No.
You kept the motor running while he went in.
I wasn't there, I tell you.
You're an accomplice. You're as guilty as if you pulled the trigger yourself.
Now, wait a minute. Look, suppose I was there. I was outside. I didn't tell him to go in there and knock over the place.
That's something you're going to have to prove in court. But if you don't tell us who the other fella is, you're going to stand this murder rap alone. They'll throw the book at you. You think I'm kidding?
Uh-huh.
Then who is he? What's his name?
Cal Martin. I met him about a month ago and tipped in. Just a punk. Works behind the soda fountain in the bowling alley over there.
Does he have a record?
He don't have nothing, including brains. He's just driving along, and he said he wanted to stop at Baker's place and get a drink of water. Said he was thirsty. So I stopped. Didn't know he had a gun on him.
After the old man was killed, what'd you do then?
Oh, we ditched the truck where you found it and hiked over toward my place. I told Martin to stay in that wash and keep out of sight till it got dark. Then I went over to Will Hicks and asked him to say I was with him.
Right after that, you called the highway patrol to report your truck was stolen.
Yeah. This afternoon, I took Martin one of my old shirts so we could get rid of that black one. Darn thing stood out like a sore thumb.
Where'd you take him?
Over at the highway. Flagged down a bus going toward Tipton.
Is that where he lives?
Yeah. We said he was going to pack and try to make it down to Mexico.
Let's get over to Tipton, Sheriff. Maybe if we hurry, we can change his plans. The sheriff booked Ed Jaffe immediately, and the two of us took off for Tipton. We arrived there about 9:30 that night.
Reckon he's still here, Jay?
Could be. I phoned the bus station while you were getting the warrant. No bus leaving here till midnight. He's probably waiting in his room rather than go out in the street.
There's room, too.
There's a light under the door. Guess he's still here.
Hear anything?
No.
Sounds like he's in there, Jay.
Open up, Martin. It's locked. You better cover me, Sheriff, while I break it in.
Well, he's gone.
Take a look in that closet.
Okay, Jace. Not in here, Jace.
I guess he...
What's the matter?
Shh. He's outside on the ledge next to the window. I saw the edge of his jeans.
What? Well, let's get him. No.
My jumper fall. Well, I guess he's already skipped, Sheriff.
Yeah, I guess he has, Jace.
Let's go.
All right.
Well, we'll go down and try the bus station.
That's a good idea.
I have to get this door fixed tomorrow.
Yeah, we sure will.
Keep walking down the hall.
You think he'll come back in the room now?
He will if he fell for our little act. You go on downstairs and outside. He might get scared and jump anyhow.
Are you going back and wait at the door?
Yeah. Keep going so he can hear your steps going down.
Okay, but you watch yourself, Jason. Right.
An old man in Avon this morning?
I don't know what you're talking about. I didn't know.
No use, Martin. Jaffe told us the whole story.
No, I don't believe it.
Well, he did.
Jace, you all right?
Yeah, everything's under control, Sheriff. You better put your cuffs on.
Yeah. Come on, you put your hands up.
Look, I didn't mean to shoot anybody. It was an accident.
I'm afraid the law looks at it a little different, son. When you rob a place with a gun, it's never an accident.
And now, here are the results of the case you have just heard.
Cal Martin and Ed Jaffe were charged with armed robbery and murder with malice. Jaffe was sent to the retrieve unit of the state penal system to serve a 30-year sentence. On February 9, 1939, Cal Martin was sentenced to 32 years at the state penitentiary in Huntsville.
Next week, Joel McRae in another authentic reenactment of a case from the files of the Texas Rangers. McRae is currently seen in San Francisco Story, a Warner Brothers release. The cast included Tony Barrett, Tom Tully, Leroy Leonard, Parley Bear, Junie Ellis, and Lamont Johnson. Technical advisor was Captain M.T. Lone Wolf Gonzalez of the Texas Rangers. This story was transcribed and adapted by Bernard Editor and Robert A. White, and the program was produced and directed by Stacy Keach. Tales of the Texas Rangers is heard each week overseas through the worldwide facilities of the Armed Forces Radio Service. Hal Gibney speaking. And now, from the files of the Texas Rangers, the case called Double Edge.
It is 11:30 on a Monday morning in June during the early 1920s. In the town of Holden, Texas, an elderly woman put through a telephone call to the bank.
That's right, operator. 423J. Now you be quiet, baby. You know your mother doesn't like you to cry. Mr. Vance?
Yes?
This is Agatha Winford. How are you today?
Oh, just fine, thanks, Miss Winford. Say, would you hold on a second, please? Just a minute. Here's your bank book, Miss Agatha. Fine, fine. Now, what can I do for you, Miss Winford?
Oh, well, I'm over here at Miss Johnson's minding her baby while she's Martin, and I thought she wouldn't mind if I used her phone to call you.
Yes, ma'am.
Well, I just got a notice from you this morning, and I want to tell you the bank's made an awful mistake in my account.
What is the mistake, Miss Winford?
Well, I know I've got $43 left in my checking account, but that notice you sent said I've only got $23. Now, that's just not so.
Now, we're very careful here, ma'am. Maybe you made some kind of mistake in your dishes.
No, I didn't.
Would you please excuse me, Miss Winford? Can you hold on while I take care of a customer here?
Well, all right.
Thank you. Yes, sir,
what can I do for you? Well, I'll be with you in a minute, baby. Baby. Baby, I saw. Oh, well. Now, baby, don't you cry. Well, that's a good baby. Now, you just be nice while I finish talking to Mr. Vance here. Mr. Vance?
Now, look, mister. Give me all the money you got.
Still busy.
Put it in this paper bag. All right, now, wait a minute. Here, give me the rest. In the back of the drawer.
Huh?
I don't have any more. Your brains blown out. Give me that money.
Oh!
All right.
Mr. Vance? Mr. Vance? Oh, uh-oh.
That's all I got, mister.
Were you kidding? Go with that other drawer and clean it out.
Huh?
Yes, sir.
What am I going to do?
What's his phone doing off the hook?
Well, I don't know.
Oh.
Hang it up.
Yes, sir.
Oh, this is awful. Operator? Operator? Oh, why don't you answer? Operator? Operator?
Mrs. Winfield notified the sheriff that the bank was being held up. Within a matter of minutes, the sheriff raced to the scene, only to find that the holdup men had already made a getaway. After a preliminary survey, the sheriff requested assistance from the Texas Rangers. Ranger Jace Pearson was assigned and arrived at the bank 15 minutes later.
Over here, Jace.
Howdy, Sheriff.
I'm glad you could get here so fast.
I was only about 10 miles away when my headquarters contacted me.
Fellas that held up this place sure had a lot of nerve.
How many were there?
Only two, as far as I can gather. One of them kept the customers in the back. The other one got the money from the teller. Took nearly $6,000.
Anybody able to identify them?
Nope. They were both wearing bandanas over their faces.
How about their getaway? Anybody see them after they left the bank?
Not a soul that I could find. Seems like they just disappeared into thin air. We did get one break, though.
What's that?
Well, the teller keeps an extra $200 in his drawer just in case the bank is held up. 10-20s with a special marking.
How are the bills marked?
There's a green dot inked in under the first letter of the serial number. Naturally, the bank's got a record of the numbers.
That'll help us some. We'll get out a circular. By tomorrow morning, every bank and police officer in Texas will have a copy.
It beats me how these fellas had so much nerve. Had it planned right down to the last move. They even took into consideration... Oh, there's Jim Vance coming out of that office. He's a teller. Reckon he's bringing that list of serial numbers.
Uh-huh.
Got that list of numbers for us, Jim?
Yes, sir. Right here. But there was something else I want to see you about.
What's that?
Well, now, I forgot all about this in the excitement. The man who was holding customers in the back, he passed me on his way out.
Yeah?
Seemed to be having trouble with his bandana. He slipped down a little just as he got alongside my window.
You mean you got a look at his face?
Well, no, sir. Not exactly. But I did say one thing. Remembered it while I was writing out those numbers just now. He had a mole under his eye. Pretty good size one, too.
Which eye was it under?
Right. No, I got it twisted. I was facing him, so it must have been his left eye.
Well, at least we got some information for that bulletin, Jace.
Yeah, let's put it on the wires. We broadcast the list of serial numbers and a vague description of the bank robbers. The first day brought no results. On the morning of the second day, I received a call from Sam Crane, constable in the town of Compton, 30 miles from the scene of the robbery. He told me the bank in Compton had reported receiving one of the marked bills the day before. The sheriff wasn't free at the moment, so I went to Compton alone. 10 that morning, I entered the constable's office.
Well, Jay.
Howdy, Crane.
Good to see you again. Real good. It's been a long time since we worked together.
Over a year. What about that marked bill? Bank tell you who brought it in?
It took the bank a little while to find out. Had to go through all their deposit slips from yesterday. Finally told me it was the owner of a hardware store here. A man by the name of Allen.
You sure about that?
Yeah, and we might be lucky. Was the only 20 in his deposit for yesterday.
Haven't you checked him yet?
Well, no. I thought it might be better if you did it. See, Allen and I don't get along very well. Don't think he'd be too cooperative with me. This thing's too important to take a chance.
Uh-huh. Tell me where his place is. I'll go see him.
It's just down the street. I'll go along with you, Jace, but if you don't mind, I'll let you do the talking.
Sure. You figure this Allen could have been involved in the robbery himself?
Him? No, Jace. Old man Allen's over 60.
How come you two don't get along?
Well, about a year ago, I bought some tools from him. No good, any of them. The old buzzard never would let me have my money back.
I sure hope he can give us something to go on.
Well, if Allen does remember who handed him this bill, my guess is it'll turn out to be somebody who just passed through Compton.
Maybe so.
Constable?
Oh, howdy, Miss Palmer.
Constable, have you had any luck?
Well, to tell the truth, I've been pretty busy since you came in this morning. Anyhow, I was sure your husband would be back by now.
Well, he's not. I told you he went out yesterday afternoon right after he got that phone call. Jeff's never stayed away like this without saying where he was going.
Now, Mrs. Palmer, he'll turn up.
But he didn't even take the car. Whenever he goes away, he always takes it.
Maybe he's over at his brother's place. Bet you haven't even called there, have you?
Well... No, I haven't.
Well, why don't you go home, then? He's probably been trying to reach you.
But it's 20 miles over to his brother's house. He couldn't get there without the car.
Well, maybe he got a ride. Now, you run along home before he gets worried, wondering why he can't reach you.
Well, all right, Thompson.
You're keeping you busy, huh?
Yeah. That husband of hers is always taking off.
Are you sure he's not missing?
Nah. Jeff Palmer takes a notion to go somewhere, he goes. He's only been away one night. Uh-huh. I swear it never rains but it pours. For 3 weeks, nothing's happened here. Now I got more work than I can handle. Well, here's the hardware store. Hope old man Allen's memory's better than I think it is.
Oh, it's you, Constable. Thought I told you I didn't want to do business with you no more.
Don't worry, Allen. I wouldn't think of buying anything from this store. Ranger Pearson here wants to ask you a few questions.
Well, all right. What's on your mind, Ranger?
You have that bill, Crane.
For sure, Jase.
Mr. Allen, you deposited this bill in the bank yesterday.
What's the matter? Counterfeit?
It's part of the money that was stolen from a bank in Holden.
Oh, you mean in that big robbery over there on Monday?
That's right.
That's so. I read about it in the paper.
This was the only 20 you deposited yesterday. Do you remember who brought it in here?
Let me see. No, Ranger, don't reckon I do.
I was afraid he wouldn't, Jase.
Just what do you mean by that, Constable?
Now, wait a minute, both of you.
I'm sorry, Ranger. Just give me a second or two. Maybe I can remember the fellow that brought it in.
Just take your time.
See, now, it's been... No, it's no use. I just can't bring him to mind.
Do you have any idea if it was yesterday morning or in the afternoon you got the bill?
Couldn't say.
What time do you take the money to the bank?
About 2:30, same time I always do.
I see. And how much cash do you usually have on hand when you open the store in the morning?
Well, maybe $25, $30, just enough to make change.
If somebody handed you a $20 bill any time before noon, it would pretty much clean out your cash drawer, wouldn't it?
Yeah, I reckon it would.
Well, then isn't it a pretty good chance you received the bill sometime between noon and the time you went to the bank?
Well, I never thought of it that way. But I still don't... Oh, wait a minute. Yep, it's coming back to me now. I just finished eating, and this fella come in and bought a box of shotgun shells. He was the one that gave me the 20.
You sure about that?
Yes, I'm sure.
Did you know the man, Mr. Allen?
Oh, I've seen him around town. I don't know his name. Could be lives in one of them farms outside Compton.
Could you give us a description of him?
Well, I ain't much of a hand at telling people what other people look like.
Well, do you remember if he had a mole under his left eye?
Mole? Tell you the truth, Ranger, I'm just not sure. Maybe he did, but I can't swear one way or the other.
All right, Mr. Allen. Thanks a lot.
One thing I'll say, if I was to see this fellow again, I'd know him.
I hope we can show him to you soon. Come on, Crane. Let's get back to your office.
I still think the old man made a mistake, Jase. That bank job wasn't pulled by any local boys.
Maybe not. There's no doubt one of the men we're after was around here. We've got to see if he's still around.
Oh, Miss Palmer, what are you doing here?
I'm sorry to make a fuss to myself, Constable.
That's all right.
I called Jeff's brother, and he isn't over there. I don't know where he is.
No, he'll turn up.
Something's happened to him. I know it. Ranger, maybe you can help me. Isn't there anything I can do to find my husband?
Well, you could have the constable file a missing persons report. That way all the police in the state would be on the lookout for him.
Will you do that, Constable?
Oh, sure, Miss Palmer, but I think before you do that, you ought to give Jeff a little longer to show up.
I can't wait any longer. I couldn't sleep all last night. I know something's happened to him.
All right, I'll file a report. It's so long since I filled one out, I'm not even sure I've got the form.
I got some in the car if you need them.
Oh, here's one. Now, Mrs. Palmer, you're all upset. Why don't you go on home? I'll fill this out myself.
Now, don't forget, Crane. Mrs. Palmer has to sign the form.
Oh, yeah.
Probably be better if she fills in the description anyhow.
What kind of a description do you need, Ranger?
The usual description. Height, weight, color of hair and eyes. Anything we can use to identify him.
Well, Jeff looks just about like anybody else.
Now, no two people are alike, Mrs. Palmer. There must be something that's different about him.
I can't think of anything, except maybe a mole.
What's that?
He's got a mole under his left eye.
In just a moment, we will continue with Tales of the Texas Rangers, starring Joel McRae as Ranger Jase Pearson.
As a civilian at home, what is your obligation to a soldier in a foxhole in Korea? Maybe you haven't considered that question. If you haven't, it's understandable. A foxhole in Korea is pretty remote, after all, from your everyday life. And it wouldn't help if you were constantly worrying. But if you have stopped to consider it, the least we can do here at home in the States is to help keep America financially strong. That's the best way to back up the men in the Army, Navy, and Air Force. One of the best ways to help keep America financially strong is to buy United States defense bonds regularly. If you think you can't afford it, look into the payroll savings plan where you work. You'll probably change your mind. You can have any amount you specify saved from each paycheck. When there's enough for a defense bond, it is purchased and turned over to you. And remember, today defense bonds offer you more interest, a quicker return on your money. They're now even better. Invest more in defense bonds. Now, Tales of the Texas Rangers.
We continue now with Tales of the Texas Rangers and our authentic story, Double Edge.
I was fairly sure now that Jeff Palmer was one of the two men we were after. Continued questioning of his wife convinced me she knew nothing of the bank robbery. We put out an APB on Palmer. 3 days later, I had a call from the sheriff. A man whose description matched Palmer's had been found dead in a creek near Compton. The quickest way for me to get there was on horseback through 2 miles of brush. When I reached the creek, I forded it and headed upstream to the spot where the sheriff and his men were waiting. Howdy, Sheriff.
It's a good thing you had your horse, Jake. Saved you 20 miles of driving.
Yeah, whoa, Charlie, whoa, boy. Huh? Who found the body?
Those fellows over there. They were out fishing.
Spotted a man's arm sticking out of the water. Body'd been wired to an old log, but it looks like one of the wires worked loose.
Uh-huh. Let's take a look at it.
Yeah, right over here, Jace.
Pretty sure it's Palmer?
Well, description checks with the one his wife signed, so I reckon it's him. Here we are.
Yeah. Shot 4 times. Fellow who did it must have been standing right next to him.
Somebody really wanted to make sure he was dead. I wonder why Palmer was killed.
Well, there's only 2 reasons I can think of. Either to shut him up or keep him from getting his share of the money. Maybe both.
Sounds reasonable. If we find the second man in that bank robbery, we'll probably have the one who killed Palmer. There don't seem to be much to go on.
One thing we can be pretty sure of, he was killed right here.
How do you figure that?
Tent's been made to cover it up, but you can still see quite a bit of blood on the ground here.
Yeah, I noticed that, but I thought he could have been killed somewhere else and brought here.
And then there wouldn't be all this blood. Not much bleeding after death.
Well, it would have been smart of the killer to do the job here. Certainly not many people around.
No, we'll have to go over the area. You check that cabin up on the hill, Sheriff?
Where?
Through those trees.
No, I didn't notice it before.
The person who lives there could have heard the shots. We'd better talk to him.
Okay. Opening in the brush, we can go up through here.
Uh-huh.
It's pretty much trampled from here on up the hill. Somebody's come down almost to the spot where Palmer was killed.
In the past few days, too, from the look of it.
You think whoever lives in that cabin had something to do with this business?
Could be.
Yeah, they might have been hiding out here together and then... Hey, Jace, a man just ducked behind that tree up there.
Yeah.
Look, he's starting up the hill. Hold it right where you are. Hold it, I said.
Hey, Mr. Ranger, I ain't done nothing.
Nobody's saying you have. What's your name?
Dan Bolton, sir.
You live in that cabin up there?
Yes, sir.
Stay around there pretty much, do you?
Most of the time. Except about once a week, I take my mule and go into town.
You heard any shooting around here in the last couple of days?
Yes, sir, I have.
When was this?
Reckon it's about 4 days ago. I was smoking some meat back at the cabin, and I hear some shooting.
Did you come down the hill to see what it was?
Mr. Ranger, please don't ask me no more questions.
Dan, it's very important we find out what happened. You could help us.
Well, all right, sir. As soon as I hear the shots, I come about halfway down the hill.
Could you see anybody?
I seen a man bending over another man on the ground. I ducked down quick here in his brush. I was scared if he'd see me, he'd shoot me, too.
Did you see his face?
Yes, sir.
You know who he was?
No, sir.
I don't think you're telling us the truth, Dan.
Mr. Ranger, I just live here in my cabin, and I don't hurt nobody, and I don't want nobody hurting me.
Dan, tell us who the man was you saw down here the other day.
I can't, Mr. Ranger. I'm scared.
Nothing's going to happen to you. I can promise you that.
Well, like I say, I was hiding here in the brush. I didn't see this man's face good till he picked the other man up and carried him over to the creek. Then I see him real plain.
Who was it, Dan?
The constable in the Compton, Mr. Sam Crane.
We questioned the old man further. He was absolutely sure it was Constable Sam Crane he had seen. We took Dan back into town with us. When we arrived at the mortuary where the dead man's body had been taken, we put Dan in an office next to the morgue. And I phoned a constable and asked him to come over as quickly as possible. The sheriff and I stayed in the room with Palmer's body. 5 minutes later, Crane walked in.
I got here as quick as I could, Jase. What's this all... Oh, Sheriff.
Howdy, Crane.
You wanted me for something?
I found the body of a man. It could be Palmer. I'd like you to identify him.
Well, sure, but why me? Why didn't you get Miss Palmer?
We wanted to be sure we were right before we call her down here. There's no use getting her any more upset than we have to.
Well, I didn't know him very well, Jase.
Didn't you? Funny, I got the idea you did.
Is that the body over there?
Yeah, better take a look.
Where'd you find him?
Nick Creek, about 10 miles from here. Pull the sheet back, will you, Sheriff?
Sure, Jase.
Well, Crane?
Oh. You can cover him up again. It's Jeff Palmer. Who killed him?
I thought maybe you could tell us that.
Me?
Where were you at 11:30 Monday morning?
Monday?
Uh-huh. Where were you?
Well, I don't know, Jase. Reckon I was in my office working.
I reckon you weren't, Crane.
Look,
how about Tuesday? The day after the bank was robbed in Holden. The afternoon that Jeff Palmer disappeared.
Jase, why are you asking me all these questions?
Because we think you and Palmer robbed that bank in Holden.
What?
The morning after the stick-up, you got the circular saying some of the money was hot.
Now, wait a minute, Jase.
You went out to warn Palmer. And when you found out he'd already spent some of the money and would probably be traced, you had to shut him up. You took him out the creek and killed him.
You're crazy, Jase. If I did that, you think I'd have reported finding one of the stolen bills?
You had to do that. If you hadn't reported it, the bank would, and you knew it.
That's a pretty serious accusation you're making, Jase.
I wouldn't be making it unless I was pretty sure of what I was saying.
How can you be so sure?
Come into the next room with us, Crane.
What for?
You'll find out. Better take his gun, Sheriff.
Look, you.
Hold still. That's better.
Now, come on.
Fine friend you turned out to be.
You think I like doing this? Dan?
Yes?
Who's this?
Dan, take a look at this man.
Yes?
You know him?
Yes, sir.
You sure you know him?
Hey, yes, sir. He's Mr. Sam Crane.
Where'd you see him last?
Mr. Ranger.
Just tell us where you saw him, Dan.
Out the creek at my place.
You liar.
Hold it, Crane.
Dan, when you saw him out at the creek, what was he doing?
He took some man off the ground and put him in the creek.
That's a lie. Jase, I've known you for 10 years. You're going to take his word against mine?
Yes, I am.
Without giving me a chance?
You had your chance when Palmer's wife came in and reported him missing. You tried to brush her off.
You're a liar.
I didn't know why you were so lax then, but I do now. You were afraid we'd find your partner's body.
Why,
what, Jase?
I'll kill you, you liar.
I don't think you will.
Try that again, Crane.
You can't railroad me like this. I'm still a police officer.
That's something I've been ashamed of for the past 3 hours. Come on. During the ride to the county jail, Crane said nothing, but the hate and bitterness showed in his eyes. We booked him for murder and locked him up. We searched his house and found the money from the bank robbery sewed inside a mattress. 2 months later, Crane was tried in the district court at Holden for armed robbery and murder. As the arresting officer, I was subpoenaed and took the stand against him. Trial lasted a week. When the jury left the courtroom, I went outside and stood on the courthouse steps. After a while, the sheriff came out and walked toward me.
Well, it's all over, Jase. Jury recommended the chair. They didn't seem to have any trouble deciding he was guilty.
No, I reckon not.
I didn't know you'd walked out till after the jury came back. Sorry you didn't get to hear the verdict.
It's all right, Sheriff. I wasn't anxious to hear it.
Jase, you don't mind my saying so. You're taking this thing too hard.
Maybe so.
Crane is no good. He's rotten clean through. You ought to be glad you helped him get what he deserves.
Somehow I can't feel that way. It's bad enough sending the man to the chair any time. Somebody you've known and worked with.
Yeah, reckon I understand how you feel. The deputies are bringing him out now.
I was hoping I'd see you before they took me away, Pearson.
Hello, Crane.
Wait a minute, boys. I got a few words to say to Pearson here.
Never mind what you've got to say. Charlie, take him on.
Just a second. What were you going to say, Crane?
You think you're pretty smart, don't you? Testifying against me like you did.
I only did what I had to.
Yeah? Well, listen, Pearson. I'll get you. I'll get you over the last thing I do.
Sorry you feel that way.
You hear me, Pearson? I'm going to get you.
Take him away, boys.
I'll get you, Pearson.
Dirty scum. He ought to have his face pushed in.
Come on, Sheriff. Let's go get some coffee. I went back to headquarters. A week later, on the day Crane was to be taken from the county jail to the penitentiary, I received a message saying the sheriff wanted to see me. I drove to Holden and went to the sheriff's office.
Sorry to bring you all the way back here, Jace. I hope you're not going to be sore at me.
What's up?
Well, it's about Crane. I was supposed to leave for Huntsville with him 2 hours ago.
No trouble, is there?
Oh, no, not a bit. Matter of fact, ever since he was sentenced, Crane's been a changed man.
How do you mean?
Well, his whole attitude's different, Jace. He even asked the judge to move up his electrocution date. Said he wanted to get it over with as quick as possible. And he asked to see you, Jace.
What for?
You've got no idea how sorry he is for the way he acted last week. When he begged to see you, why, well, it was one favor I just couldn't refuse him.
I'm glad you didn't. Where is he?
I got him locked up back here. We're all set to leave. You want to wait till I bring him out?
I'll go with you.
I just can't get over the way he's changed. I reckon it's knowing he's going to die that did it.
Well, whatever it is, I'm happy to hear he has changed. You know how bad I felt about this whole thing.
Yeah, and last week I thought you were wrong. Now I'm ready to eat my words. Here we are. Crane?
Okay, Sheriff.
I got a hold of Jace for you.
Oh, thanks, Sheriff.
Hello, Crane.
Jace, I don't know how to say this.
Don't worry about it. I understand.
No, I've got to say it. I figured out a dozen ways of telling you, and none of them seems right. I reckon the best way is just to say I'm sorry.
That's all right, Crane.
I've been thinking about it the way I blew off at you. I was wrong. You just did what you had to do. Jace, will you shake hands with me?
Sure I will.
I reckon we better get moving, boys.
Would you do a favor for me, Jace?
If I can.
There's a girl over in Compton. We've been going together a few years. Might have been married someday.
You want me to go see her?
Would you, Jace? Drop in on her every now and then and see if she's getting along all right.
I'd be glad to.
I'd like to show you a picture of her. Sheriff, is that my satchel over there?
Yeah, all packed and ready to go.
There's a picture of my girl in it. Could I have it?
Sure, Crane.
It's right on top. I feel real sorry for her, Jace. All the publicity.
This it in the leather frame?
Yeah. I never deserved a girl like her in the first place.
Here you are.
Thanks. What do you think of her, Jace?
Pretty girl.
I bet she is. Here, let me get it into a better light. Now you can see what I wanted you to see.
Jace, he's got a razor blade.
I told you I'd get you.
A little late.
My arm.
Drop that blade.
Drop it.
Now put the cuffs on him, Sheriff.
Yeah.
You dirty louse.
Should have known better than to trust him. Where'd you get that razor blade anyhow?
I had it hidden in the picture frame.
Say, your hand's bleeding, Jace. Did it get you bad?
It just nicked me a little.
Shut up in your throat.
I told you to shut up.
Come
on, Crane. It's the last favor you'll get from me.
Get your mouthy paws off me.
Come on.
Sheriff, I hope you got room in your car for one more. This boy needs lots of company.
In just a moment, we will tell you the results of the case you have just heard.
Monday means music on NBC, and tomorrow evening you're invited to relax in your favorite easy chair or outdoors where you can catch a breath of a breeze and listen to the finest in musical entertainment on NBC. The Railroad Hour once again will bring you an original operetta by Jerry Lawrence and Bob Lee, with music composed and conducted by Carmen Dragon. Your Railroad Hour host, Gordon McRae, will be joined by lovely Lucille Norman to bring you Starlight. Later, the Telephone Hour will present the brilliant young pianist, Nicole Auriol, as the special guest of the evening. And, of course, Monday's musical entertainment wouldn't be complete without the Voice of Firestone. Tomorrow evening, the Voice of Firestone presents soprano Roberta Peters and the music of Howard Barlow and the Firestone Orchestra and Chorus. Yes, Monday night is truly a night to relax and beat the heat by finding the coolest spot available and listening to NBC's great musical programs. Be sure to hear them all tomorrow. Now, the conclusion of Tales of the Texas Rangers.
And now, here are the results of the case you have just heard.
Sam Crane was taken to Huntsville Penitentiary and confined in the special cell block set aside for condemned prisoners. 93 days later, still defiant, he died in the electric chair.
Next week, Joel McCrae in another authentic reenactment of a case from the files of the Texas Rangers. Joel McCrae is currently seen in San Francisco Story, a Warner Brothers release. The cast included Tony Barrett, Virginia Gregg, Frank Gerstle, Parley Bear, Paul McVeigh, and Robert Bice. Technical advisor was Captain M.T. Lone Wolf Gonzalez of the Texas Rangers. This story was transcribed and adapted by Charles E. Israel, and the program was produced and directed by Stacy Keats. Tales of the Texas Rangers is heard each week overseas through the worldwide facilities of the Armed Forces Radio Service. Hal Gibney speaking.
Tonight, hear the Hollywood Bowl concert on NBC.
Thanks for joining us for Tales of the Texas Rangers with Joel McCrae. This is your host and storyteller, John Hagedorn. This is 1001 Stories from the Old West. Reviews are always appreciated. Stay safe, everyone, and we'll be back soon.